Good evening, everyone. It's so powerful what we can do with our tongues in the area of proclamation. God says we call things that don't exist as if they already exist. So it's important in our lives just to have that habit of speaking things that are not there as if they are already there. It's like when there's nothing, Jesus showed to us in Scripture that we should live off the bread of every word that God retains from the Word of God. It's that place where we live off what God says and where we start to appropriate it through our words. And tonight I'm going to speak a bit about what Dricus mentioned, about being faithful in the little. It's really encouraging, the word that he brought. By the way, I don't know what scriptures the guys are going to read for the offering. So I always trust God that He will confirm the message through the offering message. So that's really cool how God comes to confirm that word. So tonight I'm going to speak a bit about faithfulness, but more about service. Oh, it seems like the slide has gone a bit crazy. Anyway, it goes on at the bottom. It says crafted for His service. So I think the font has gone a bit strange on that computer. Okay, so tonight I'm going to speak about service, being servants in the Father's house. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke about being a pot being formed by God, so being formed by the potter's hands. So I spoke a lot about Him being our Father, Him taking us from wherever place we find ourselves, and forging us, forming us for His good pleasure, for good deeds, and for His workmanship. So I spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, Edward spoke about just confidence, about being confident. So I think it lines up nicely, because if God calls you to do something, if He's formed you, you can be confident in what He's called you. I just want to put this thing a bit closer. Okay, cool. By the way, for you who are new, my name is Marnus. That was my wife, Janet. I just walked through there. Welcome, guys. Welcome all the new people. So tonight, we're going to speak a bit about being servants. What I'm going to speak about tonight, I think, is something we get right at Shofar Durban. It's something that everybody is doing. Everybody is serving. Everybody is serving their hearts out in our church. A lot of people are on a long weekend this weekend, it seems. But in general, everybody is serving. So it's something, tonight is really just a message of encouragement. Keep on doing what you're doing, because God has got a reward for service. He's got an inheritance for those who come to serve Him, and who come with servants' hearts. So God has called us to be sons and followers of Christ. So He's calling us to be disciples, and He's called us to be sons of God. And both of those have got one thing in common. A disciple follows after Christ. He imitates Christ. And the way he does it is through service. He serves the purposes of Christ. And a son, the way a son serves is by serving the purposes of his father. That's how you know somebody is a true son. It's when he aligns himself with his father's agenda, with his father's heart, with his father's household vision. So that's something that a son and a disciple has got in common. And that's the two things God has called us to be, is to be sons. So yes, when we get saved, we are sons and daughters of God. By the way, when I use the word son tonight, in the spiritual realm, God refers to all of us as sons, because it's a spiritual term. It's not a physical earth term. So when I speak about sonship, I speak of a position in the spirit tonight. Just like God is calls us the bride of Christ. Corporately, He refers to us in a feminine form. Singularly, He refers to us as sons. So tonight, everything will include sons and daughters, ladies and gentlemen. So God has got something to do with service. He's calling us to become servants, and He's calling us to be content to be servants. So tonight, I'm gonna look at a lot of scriptures and a lot of examples about service in Scripture, about how God has even sent His own Son to come and serve the purposes of the Father. And how He's called us to be co-heirs. How He's called us to be to be sons with Christ, to be brothers of Jesus and sisters of Jesus. So I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to start with the good news. Everything is really good news. But I'm going to do this sermon a bit the other way around, kind of putting things up front. Because I think sometimes in this world, we get things fed to us the other way around. It's like you need to do something to get something. And where God is saying to us, if we have our motivations right, then he's got a place for us. He's got a promise and a plan for us. So let's look at Luke 15, verse 17. I think it's to 18. It's a spelling mistake there. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, this is the story of the prodigal son. That's just before he came home. It says, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. Now I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So this story speaks of the prodigal son. He went to foreign land. He asked the father for an inheritance. He went squandering it. After a while, he realized, after he was starting to eat pig's food and there was no provision for him, he realized in his father's house, even those who are not sons, even those who are slaves and serving the father's purposes, they never have lack in the basic things that they need. So that is kind of one of the promises of service in the father's house. He realized that even if he becomes a hired servant in his father's house, then God's provision would be intact. He could be confident that there would be provision. But the amazing things about us, if we have Christ as our Savior, is that we don't just have provision when we become servants, is that we also have an inheritance. Let's look at Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord. It's interesting. It says they receive the reward of the inheritance. It's one of those difficult, when you read it, you kind of just let it go by. But it says receive the reward of the inheritance. So what God is saying, when we have servants' hearts, when we come to serve just for the sake of serving, not even for what it can do or for what the outcome can be. Even if that is, then our reward is an inheritance. The Father's got an inheritance for his sons and daughters. Okay, so God is calling us for service, but his intention is for us to be provided for and to have an inheritance. Matthew 6 verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, not to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Same thing again. The Father is calling us to do things as if unto him. He's calling us to do his will so that we can get a reward from him alone. So it speaks about our motivation. Why do we do things? Do we do things to serve the Father, or do we do things to serve men? If you do things to serve men, if you're at your workplace and you work unto your manager or unto your boss, the only reward you'll get is from him. It's from the person. And that reward is possibly not in good hands. There's no guarantee to that. But if I go to my workplace and I work unto the Lord, if I do my life unto the Lord, even if I do my marriage unto the Lord, even if I do my sport, what I do in my personal time, if I start doing those things unto the Lord, then I can expect that the Lord will use that for good. He will use that and bring forth something of greatness from that place. Okay. So yeah, just that bottom one, Matthew 6 verse 1. That's important to know that you have a Father in heaven. I think a lot of times for us it's difficult to do something and not to receive a thanks for it, to do something and just do it for the sake of doing it because it's the Father's motivation, as Jesus modeled for us when he came to serve. It's really a trust issue. When I do something and I don't get a thanks, or I don't get a commendation, or I don't get a reward, is it still good enough that I've done it because I share the Father's heart? Is that already a reward in itself for me? I'm going to come back to that later. But God is calling us to trust him and all we do. So it's really, am I doing things trusting that he will bring it forth? When you're there at your workplace, and maybe God is calling you to to do something like maybe start a prayer group in your workplace, and there's only one person pitching. Maybe for a whole year, only one person comes. Is your reward in the people coming, or the increase, or is your reward in serving the Father, serving His purposes in your life or through your life? And that's the thing. It's a trust issue. Are we trusting God? And same thing with our finances. When I go to work and I earn my salary every month, do I do it my work for the Lord, and is my salary something that the Lord is giving me, or is it something that I own? Is it something that I feel that's due to me, or is it just a blessing from the Lord? Is He the one that rewards me? So it's really an issue of trust when I serve. Do I trust God that if I serve Him through all I do and in all I do, is He able to make it prosper? Is He able to make use of that for good? Okay, so to continue, I'm going to look at the example of the firstborn, Philippians 2, verse 4 to 9. So tonight I'm looking a lot at sonship. To be a son in the house, it means to be a servant in the house. God is calling all of us to firstly be servants, to firstly be sons and daughters in His house. So I want to encourage us tonight. That is what God has called us for first. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality of God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. Somebody was asking in the small group the other day, Thomas's place, was asking why is the term Son of Man referring to Jesus? Why is he referred to as the Son of Man in the Gospels? And I didn't really know. I know God came as a man. But I think one of the main reasons is exactly this position of servitude. God became man to model to us how to live as men and women on this earth. He came to model what it means to be a firstborn of God, because he was God's firstborn. But when he came in the form of man, he came in the form of a servant. And it's amazing, he was God himself, but he didn't count it as anything to be grasped, to come and rule, to become a king. It's one of the reasons why the Jews couldn't handle Jesus the way he came, because he came as a servant. He came and walked among people and served the common purposes of men. He came to serve the poor. He came to serve the needs of people, which a king wouldn't necessarily be in a normal sense of the word, wouldn't do. He wouldn't be among the poor and the people that have needs. So God said, this is kind of the example of a firstborn. And the firstborn spoke about in the old patriarchal times. It spoke about the person of the sons and daughters in a household that would earn the inheritance of the father. So God is calling us all to be firstborns, and Jesus is the example of firstborns. When we get born into Christ, we have an example in Christ to come and serve. And if He didn't escape servitude, how can we? How can we ever live a life void of service? That's impossible. And I realized even in my life this week, I was reflecting, most of the times I get frustrated in my life, it's because I think I should have something. I think I should be somewhere. I think I should have received some kind of reward, or I should have received some kind of acclaim for something I did. That's where a lot of my frustration comes from. But that is void of sonship. That's void of having the attitude of service in our lives, and seeing that as the number one thing for us. Okay, so we want to be found in the likeness of God. Our main mandate, our calling here on earth, is firstly to conform to the image of Christ. So if that is the case, then God has called us to become servants. Servants of one another, servants of His purpose, and even servants of the people out there that God has called us amongst. Matthew 12, verse 15 to 18. A large crowd followed him. This is another example of Jesus. And he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. That was to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet Isaiah. And this is the Father now speaking. He says, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love. See, God refers to Jesus as a servant. He refers to him as a son. He refers to him as in two titles. The one is son and the other one is servant. So God didn't have a problem referring to his son as a servant. Whom I delight, I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. So it's a place where God, when we have the attitude of servants, he even comes to empower us to do great works unto the nations. Okay. So, for instance, if you are a child of God and you would become the president of South Africa, then you would be known by the fact that you serve people. You would be known that you are the greatest servant of people, because that is the model that Jesus gave to us. And the challenge is, like I said earlier, a lot of times we want a reward in this world, in this life, for things. But that's the example we see in Satan's life. If you read in Isaiah, Satan was one of the servants of the Most High. He was an angel that was called to serve very much in a leadership role amongst all the angelic beings. He was a worshipper and he was quite good looking according to scripture. But after a while, he thought, because God enabled him through gifts and abilities, he could allude to the place of being God. So after a while, he took the position of God, of a position of entitlement. Because I serve, I should be rewarded. And that's actually called pride. When we come to a place where service is not something to hold on to. And I realize in my own life, a lot of times when things get tough and when I serve a lot, then I get negative and I think, sure, things are a bit tough and I feel sorry for myself. But if you look at Christ, he called it a joy. He called it something of immense treasure to become a servant, because the Father sent him to become a servant. Okay. Okay, so we're looking at servanthood tonight. We're looking at service. So let's look a bit at what service does in our lives. So God didn't just call us to be servants. He doesn't just call us to be sons and daughters that serve. But the amazing thing is, through service, he also calls us to inherit. And that's the pathway to inheritance. It's through serving his purposes, to serving his kingdom, to serving the Father in the Father's house. And when I talk about the Father's house, I speak about his kingdom, not just church, although church is a big part of that. Luke 17, verse 5 to 10, a catalyst of faith. This scripture is quite a powerful one. We always read it in one way. But what I've realized in scripture is, you shouldn't just read the next paragraph when Jesus gets asked something. You must read the whole chapter to get the whole worth of it. Sometimes we miss the treasures in scripture because we only read part of it. So this is the scripture where the disciples ask Jesus to teach them faith. And then it goes on to, if you have only seed of a mustard seed, if you have faith of a mustard seed, then you will move mountains. But what they actually ask Jesus is, show us how to increase our faith. So then it goes on with, see, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will move mountains. But only two sentences further it says, and then he comes off with a parable. And parables are powerful, because it actually gives some hidden secrets. But here it says, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. It's quite a harsh scripture, eh? They are asking Jesus, how do we increase our faith? And he says to them, you can just be thankful to become unworthy servants. But I think God is speaking kind of between lines, because if you look at the whole context of scripture, what he's actually saying is, and you can be thankful that you've been called to inherit through serving, because that's actually what's really behind it. God is saying, when we become servants, when we take on the role of servants, almost like we clothe ourselves with servanthood heart, then there's an inheritance for us. And it's interesting, it says here, these people, this servant wasn't offended by being called a servant. So there's one thing when somebody asks you to serve, that's one thing, but when somebody calls you a servant, then the rain coming to get us. When somebody calls you a servant, do you get offended by that? Does that affect you in a negative way? Because actually what the scripture is saying, we should be encouraged when somebody calls us servants. And obviously the person that calls you a servant, that shouldn't be something that encourages them. So if I call somebody a servant, that would be wrong. But Jesus says that would actually be alluding to Christ, because his father called him a servant. Okay. So, are you all with me? Is that exciting? Are you excited to become servants? Are you excited to grow your faith by being called a servant? Okay. It's a hard one, but I'm going to give you some good news. The amazing thing about becoming a servant in the Father's house is that there really is an inheritance with servitude, with service. If you serve the Lord for the sake of serving Him, not for the sake of promotion, not for the sake of getting promotion from men, even getting necessarily gratitude from men, is that the Father has got the promotion for you, and that your inheritance is completely safe, completely intact. It cannot be touched. Because man cannot withhold God's promises, cannot withhold his ability to promote you and to bless you. And an example for me was I'm just going to share a few testimonies tonight about becoming a son in the house. When I came to Shofar Church, for instance, it was 2007, God said to me, I need to be a son in the house. I need to serve wherever God wants me to serve. In the beginning, it was quite tough, and I served the Lord. But I remember about 2010, 2011, I became really serious about that. In the beginning, when I came to the church, Fred preached one night, and God says, if you serve that man, it's interesting, I didn't know scripture that well, but God says, if you serve this man, I will give you your inheritance. I didn't know what it meant, but I said, okay, God, I will join his church. I will come and serve his purposes. And then I remember 2011, God reminded me of that promise and said, I must do anything that's, I said to the Lord, I will do anything that the leader asks me to do as long as it's within your will. It's obviously not sin, but anything that the leader asks me. Because serving the Lord sometimes means serving those authorities that he places over you. So I've shared it before, but I went in 2011, I went on a mission. And for the first, like I felt called to be in ministry, since I've been saved, 2001. But I didn't realize in what context God called me. I didn't know if it was full-time ministry or just business or what it is. I even thought it was sport at a time, like I've shared before. But then in 2011, I went on a missions trip, and I didn't preach one word before that. I couldn't really speak. I was a bit like Moses. God sent me to do anything, but don't send me to speak in front of people. So then I went on that mission. I said, Lord, I'll do anything which you want me to do in this mission, as long as it's not sinful. And it's interesting how God takes you to task when you're honest about things. So I shared before, on that mission, it was 10 days. I probably preached 20 times in the 10 days. And I didn't preach once before that. It's the first time I preached publicly. And what I discovered in that service, in doing that, I discovered that God maybe has a calling for me in that area. So a lot of times we will be serving in things that we don't necessarily like. Maybe somebody will ask you something to do that you don't necessarily like. But it's interesting how those things where you really have a heart of a servant, saying, God, show me the needs. Show me where I can do something for you, even if I don't like it, even if I don't understand it. And God will sometimes turn that thing around and show you that's actually where I've enabled you, where I've gifted you. And I'm actually not so afraid of preaching anymore. That's actually something I enjoy a bit more these days. So that's the same for you in your life. God has got a plan for you. He's got an enablement for you. But sometimes you'll only find that through preaching. Or not preaching, through serving. Just, you know, some of us through preaching as well. Some of us through serving, you will get your inheritance. And you will not even be awakened to it. If you don't serve. And as I'm saying, most of us are serving, which is amazing. So what I'm encouraging you tonight is God has got an inheritance for you when you're a servant. Okay. So, sometimes, what I wanted to add is, sometimes we need to serve afraid. So sometimes there's a need that needs to be met. Like, it could be a simple thing. Like, somebody needs to, what is it? Maybe somebody needs to babysit. There's a need for somebody to babysit kids in church. And maybe that's something that freaks you out completely. Something that you don't want to deal with kids. But if you go and do that, you need to do it afraid. Sometimes we need to do the things we don't like and just do it afraid. Tina's came to babysit the other night. He did it afraid. No, I'm joking. He's a natural. So sometimes we need to do things that we don't like so that God can enable us in those areas. And sometimes that's our inheritance as well. So I want to encourage you, find places to serve. For instance, if you want to be a father or a mother one day, that area would be a good area to serve. Find somebody with small kids and say, can I babysit your kids so that you guys can go out for a night out? Go to Albert and Jerusha and say, we want to babysit Sammy so you guys can have a good night out. So I would encourage you in that area. If you want to grow, go and serve in that area which you believe God has got an inheritance for you. Be bold, be courageous, and come to the Father and ask Him for your inheritance. So the second one is, I want to use the example of Elijah. The example of Elijah and Elisha. I always like to use Old Testament examples because it really speaks about biblical truths. If you cannot find something as a shadow that you see in the New Testament and the Old Testament, as a practical outworking, Scripture says in the New Testament, the Old Testament has been written for reproof, for testing, and for exhortation. So it's a place where we need to find an example in the Old Testament of God's heart. And here's a good example of servitude. And it's a place where somebody, and this is exercise his favor. This is a story of Elisha and Elijah. Earlier, before this piece of Scripture, Elisha actually Elijah walked past Elijah and he said to Elisha, come. And he was a farmer. And he went and he burned his farming equipment. He slaughtered his cattle and he left farming. But this is at the end of the story. This is after Elisha followed Elijah for many years. And there was a calling for Elisha to step into the same anointing, the same works, the same capacity as Elijah. And here it comes to the end of his life. And this man, this speaks so about serving and serving God with faith for inheritance. And he was following Elijah. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elijah and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And then it goes on, and the story repeats itself a while. But just see here about the perseverance that Elijah turns. He just keeps on following him because he doesn't want to leave till he gets blessed by Elijah. And then at the end, so it was. And when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elijah, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elijah said, please let the double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. So amazing. A girl in church, Eureka, she was sharing on a Thursday night, they came around us. She was sharing how she just started working. She's in the film industry, and she's a producer, and how she started working at this new company just as an intern. But she actually wants to produce movies. And how she just put out her faith that God would send a project to the company so that they can give her the job of producer or give her inroads to do producing work in a company. And sometimes in our lives it's the same. Sometimes we want to become something, but we're waiting for somebody to come and tell us we need to become something. Or we ask for somebody to open the door of opportunity for us to do something. But sometimes the best way is to start serving. If you feel God has called you to do something, I would suggest you need to find somebody that does that already and just serve that person. Find an organization that already does that well. Serve the organization. If you want to become a good lawyer, you want to be employed by a guy that's a good lawyer because you want to learn from that person. And if that's true in the world, the same for us. If we want to do something well, then we can serve the purposes of somebody that does something well, and it will be imparted to us. Okay. So, are you available? Are you available? Are you serving the Lord in those areas? For me, what the Lord said to me was, I need to serve Fred. So even as I'm standing here, in a way, here tonight, I'm still kind of serving Fred, in a way, because it's his vision so far as a church, his global vision. So I'm still serving him. It's like in a different context. But I said, Lord, there's something that that man has that I want. And therefore, I'm going to serve him wherever I can find the opportunity to serve him. And it's the same thing you must ask the Lord. It says, ask the Lord, what is your inheritance? Where do you need to find it? Who am I going to learn from about my inheritance? And see, God is not a respecter of man, but he looks at the heart. He looks at the person that's willing, that wants to serve. Okay, so just to come back. So God is calling us to serve as sons and daughters. Our inheritance is in serving, and we need to make ourselves available. By the way, when I was serving in Cape Town, I felt God say to me, I must do everything that the church throws at me that's able to do. So I did all the encounters, I did all the Bible school. But then the only thing I didn't do in church was Bible school free. And Bible school free was in Stellenbosch on a Tuesday evening. And I lived in Cape Town, that's about 50 k's, I think, from Stellenbosch. So I felt, okay, God, I need to put my faith out to do Bible school free. And the only place I could do it was Stellenbosch. I decided I'm going to go check it out. So I checked it out. I drove there the one Tuesday. No, it was Monday. I drove there. I got there, and there was only people from Stellenbosch doing it. I was the only outside person doing it. So I drove home. I said, Lord, nobody else is doing this. So why should I be doing it? So, like, nobody else is doing it. Why should I be different? Why should I be doing it? It's almost like feeling sorry for myself. Oh, it's so hard on me. I must do the hard miles. And then I kind of made up my mind I was not going to do it. I was not going to go. And then in the middle of that week, God challenged me. He said to me, are you serious about your inheritance? Are you serious to serve for inheritance? So what I did is I eventually drove through. I don't know how many times I drove through, but I drove through every Monday for a year to do. And I didn't know anybody. It was really uncomfortable. I had to get to know the people. I didn't need to make new friends. I kind of just did it because I felt God has got something there for me. So I want to encourage you sometimes, and I believe because I did that, somebody saw that I was serious about the Lord. All the leaders in Stellenbosch saw that I was serious about my inheritance. And that's a thing. And in our workplaces, if you've got a company, if you've got a business, and you want to employ somebody, or you want to give somebody a promotion, who are you going to give the promotion? Are you going to give somebody the promotion that you can trust? Somebody that's bought into the vision? Somebody that's sacrificed? Who are you going to trust with the promotion first? Are you just going to take the person with the qualifications? Or are you going to take the person that suffered the most? And I would definitely only employ the person that I can trust. Because if somebody suffered for something, you know, you can trust him. So that's the same in the kingdom. God will trust you with as much as you are willing to be faithful, as much as you are willing to suffer for. It's almost like God doesn't take you on with your track record, but your track record does matter to him. And a lot of times God will, that's what we see in the disciples' account. God didn't take the highly qualified theologians of the time. He didn't take the staunch Jews or the Pharisees and made them his disciples. He took those who were willing to leave all they did and to come and serve his purposes for 3 years. They just served his purposes for 3 years, and they became the leaders. in his church. Okay, so let's look at godly ambition. Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28. So I'm going to turn this thing a bit to how we look at the world from the world's perspective. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among them. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So this is a place where God is actually saying ambition is not a bad thing in our lives. A lot of times we come to church and we think part of humility is not to have ambition, not to want to be great. But God says it's not a problem to be great, like the prodigal son story. Like the first rebellious son wanted an inheritance. The oldest son wasn't interested in God's presence. And the son that came back, he was interested in the father's purposes. So the first son had one thing going for him. He wanted an inheritance. He had ambition in life. He wanted to do something great in life. So what God is saying here is, you can have ambition as long as it's godly ambition. As long as it's God-derived ambition. As long as God is the one driving your ambition. So it's going to God and saying, "God, what is it that you would want me to do for your kingdom? What is it that you would want me to be great in? What does it look to be great, like to be great in your kingdom? What is your pathway to success? And what is success according to you?" So he wants us to make that our ambition. And like I said earlier, sometimes we get frustrated because we try and earn something, because we're trying to make things happen. But God has got a certain way of us attaining the plans he has for us. And he wants us all to do great things. But the way we attain it is through serving. The way we attain it is becoming less so that he can make us more. It's to die almost to self so that he can give us new life. So it's a place where we say we don't deserve anything, but because Christ in us, Christ through us, we can do great things. It's a place of confidence that God has got a plan for me. God wants me to have ambition, that he will promote me, that he will establish me and put me in a place that affects much for his kingdom. Okay, so the catch here is, what do you do in secret? God will reward in public. So God is looking at your heart. What do you do when nobody's looking? How do you do it? Do you only do things so that man can promote you? Because if I did what I did, like I shared my story about Shofar, if I did things so that Fred May would notice me, then I probably would have failed. And by the way, I actually don't know Fred that well. I don't have a relationship actually with Fred. Talked with him a few times, but I served these purposes. I served this vision through actually other churches in it. So kind of in your life, are you serving the Father's purposes where he placed you? Are you serving his purposes even if nobody sees? Even if you think the Father doesn't see you? Okay, so what I want us to do is shake your neighbor and say, "I've got godly ambition. I've got godly ambition." Okay. So it's a good place to live life purposefully. Live life with the focus on getting inheritance from the Lord. Okay. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11 says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking to you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything that you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ." So now I'm just going to become a bit more practical. It's like, if you have the gift of healing, and you just pray for people that are healthy, are you a good steward of your gift? It's not such a good idea just to pray for the healthy if people will get healed. And it's the same if God has called you to make millions. If you are somebody that makes millions, then that's probably a gift God has put on your life. So if you didn't just pray for the sick, but that's possibly not what you're very good at, then you're probably also not a good servant, because God has probably called you to serve His kingdom with the money you make or with that specific gift that you have. So God is saying, start where you're at. Start with the gifts you had. God has given you those gifts for the edification of the body. And God will, as you serve Him with those things, He will also reveal to you the other gifts that you have. So all of us have got something to give. Some of us are good at hospitality, so invite people into your house. Some of us are good with, I don't know, music, play in a band. Some of us, you've got something to give. So, and don't wait for somebody to ask you to do that thing. Just go out and do it. If you're good at making food, make food for somebody that's struggling with at home. Go make food for a family that doesn't have time to make food, or somebody that looks hungry, make food for him. And just serve the body of Christ. And yet it really speaks about serving one another. So we will only be effective to the amount that we can be if we serve one another. Okay, with our gifts. Galatians 5 verse 13 to 14. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use the liberty as opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm really challenged by that, because there's so much we can do. And sometimes we think, you don't have what somebody else has. But God is just saying, do to somebody else what you would have liked somebody do to you. So even if you don't have a specific gift, you know what people would, what you would have loved somebody to do for you. So start at that place. Start at that place where you know what I would have loved somebody to do for me, and do that for somebody else. Okay, Matthew 10 verse 41 to 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And this is a place of faith, eh? So that speaks of anything that we do for one another, God sees, because it's like doing it unto us. And one of the amazing things that I added here is that God is, this place is noisy when it rains, eh? God is interested in breakthroughs. He's interested in our breakthroughs. He's interested in seeing us succeed. But one of the ways He's going to make us successful is through serving one another. It's like Pilani with his 77% board exam. I must say that really made my day on Thursday. And if that is your heart, if you really celebrate other people's breakthroughs, that probably means you've got a heart of a servant. Because you want to see other people prosper. You want to see other people do well. You want to see other people gain ground. It's actually the place where you come and say, Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's actually a joy to see other people do well. It's like a place where, that's actually what we do on a Sunday. We come together to celebrate what God has done. That's actually what it's about on a Sunday. Okay. I think I've got a bit too much to cover still. But let's quickly look at, the story in Acts. Next slide. I want us to quickly look at the reward of service in the body, serving His purposes. Acts 6 verse 1 to 7. This is the story of Acts and the people that served on the body, that did the works of service. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, the people complained about the Hellenic ladies that didn't get served as the Jewish ladies got served. And the people came to the disciples and they complained. They said, this is not cool. These people, they don't serve fairly and there's not enough capacity. The 12 summoned the multitude, the disciples, and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So that's really a place where there was a need that needed to be fulfilled in the kingdom. The leaders realized there was nobody to fulfill the need. So they asked the people, who can we ask to do this stuff? Who can we ask to do this need? And they disappointed a few people that were filled with the Spirit and the wisdom. And those people went to do the task. So they weren't necessarily qualified. They just had wisdom and the Spirit. And there was a specific need. But what I want us to focus on, that is cool. But it says there, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many people, priests, became obedient to faith. This is a place where we, as a body of God, where there's needs, and we fulfill those needs as they arise. Sometimes it means you do something that you're not so enjoying about. But what it means here in a context is if we fill the gaps through service, then God will do the rest. So it's not about one person individual contribution. It's about a corporate contribution. If we all come with a willingness to serve corporately, everybody filling the gaps where there's gaps need, where there's help needed, then God will bring His kingdom forth. So the emphasis to see the kingdom come and us all coming to His inheritance is all of us taking to the plow as there's needs arise and serving accordingly. So a statement I made here is, because they were limited in their resources, a quote that I wrote down here is, God works through limited resources, but His working is limited where resources are withheld. So if the people there were not willing to serve the needs of the widows, the Hellenic widows, in the church at that time, God's grace would have been withheld for the outpouring for more people to come in into church. So it's almost like where everybody has the attitude of service, everybody has the attitude of saying, God, where's the need? Where's there a need that I can meet? Where's there something that I can do? And it's obviously not out of a place of not being a good steward of your time. Sometimes we want to do too much. So it's more of a place of saying, God, where do you want me to serve? Where's the need? And let me do that. And the amazing thing is God will mostly give us the opportunity to serve in something that we enjoy if we're willing to serve the things that we, in the areas we don't enjoy so much. He will open a door for that. Okay, serving wisely. I wanted to add this. This is quite important for us in terms of serving. So I've spoken now about serving, being willing to serve, being available to serve. But God is also calling us to serve wisely. In Galatians, this is for me that one of the better scriptures, just giving us a good balance. It says here, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will rejoice in himself alone and not in one another. For each one shall bear his own load. So basically, we need to be wise in our service. And there's two words in that scripture. The one is burdens and the one is loads. And how I would basically define loads is something that you can carry. It's something that you've been given to do. And burdens is something that's too tough for you to bear. So that's almost in a place where when we look at a situation, there's some things that are burdens and some things that are loads. So for instance, to make a basic explanation, if I still dress Brendan when he's 18 years old, then I will be carrying his loads. Because he's come to the place of maturity, a place where he should be dressing himself when he's 18 years old. So it's a place where we don't do things for people which they should be doing for themselves. Okay. But a place where a burden, another example would be if somebody earns 10,000 rand a month salary and he comes to you in the middle of the month and he says, I need some money. I cannot pay my electricity. If I pay the person's electricity, I will be carrying his loads. I will actually avoid him from learning, from not spending his money on the wrong things. If somebody is only earning 200 rand a month, and he comes to me and he says, I cannot pay my electricity, then it's a burden. Then I can help share that burden. Are you guys with me? So it's a place of being wisdom, because what I find is sometimes, because God has called us to be servants and called us to a place of servitude. Can you guys hear me? You hear me? God has called us to a place of servitude. Somebody will come and he will exploit that. He will say, because you're a Christian, you have to serve me. Because you're a Christian, sometimes people in the world will say, you have to do something for me, which I actually should be doing for myself. So just be wise in terms of our burdens and our loads. Okay, so just to make it practical, in church at the moment, we've got a need for worship people in church. So we've got lots of areas where we serve in church, but the one area where people are burdened at the moment is in a worship team. So if anybody has a worship gift or even wants to grow in their worship gift, in their musical gift, please come and speak to Jerusha afterwards, and or Cindy. We need people to serve in that area, and I will have to send the sermon on to the people that were not here. But that's what that's basically in our setting as a congregation. That's the area where we really need some help. That's where people are burdened. That's where we as a service need some help. Okay, so you all understand the difference between a load and a burden. You understand what that means. So when somebody comes to you and he wants something from you that he should actually be doing by himself, you shouldn't help him because it's a load, not a burden. But when there's a single mom walking into church with four children, you know that person is burdened. You don't even have to ask twice. You can take those kids off her. You can bring her food. You can go and babysit her kids. You can offer. I'm sure she'll have financial needs. So it's just basics that we need to be wise where we serve, how we serve, how do we meet the needs of people. Okay, so if the band can come forward, Salah, I'm going to finish off there. Okay, so I just want to summarize. I felt convicted by preparing my own sermon, that sometimes better to prepare a sermon than to listen to one, because you have to wrestle with the stuff yourself. So I was really convicted this week about the things I've been feeling sorry for myself about. Like I sometimes say, Lord, oh, why should I be doing this? And oh, why is nobody doing that? Etc. But it's amazing when you get a kingdom perspective, when you get a long-term perspective, when you see how God sees things, then suddenly it's not so hard anymore. And suddenly it's taken that hardship away. So let's quickly summarize servanthood. Serving the Lord. So sons and daughters are servants. We need to serve as unto the Lord. So what we want to do unto the Lord. Faithful service leads to an inheritance. So if we serve by faith, we come into the Father's house, position ourselves by faith, then it will lead to an inheritance from the Father. And then the next one is serving in his house leads to faith. How's that? It's almost like the same, this and the opposite. Serving the Father increases our faith. So if you start serving in something small, and that's what Dricus was saying in the beginning, faithful in the little, God will make you steward over more. If you serve in the little, you will have expectation that God would give you more to be faithful with. And sometimes you have to start small, and you have to do the impossible so that your faith can grow. Okay. So, and then the next one is, we must share our burdens and not our loads. Okay, so ask other people to help us. And we need to help other people with their burdens. But let's not take people's loads off them, because then we void them from the opportunity to grow and to have an inheritance themselves. Okay, and then to just make it practical for us, start with the needs. Where are the needs in our area where God has called us? What is the need in our workplace? What is the need in our church? What's the need in my family? What is the need? In my neighborhood. Okay, and then serve those you want to imitate. So have an ambition in life. And service in itself. I want to finish off with that. Service in itself is a reward. Because Christ himself didn't have a problem with serving. Being called a servant. Okay. Okay, so I just want to finish there. I want to finish with the prodigal son story. I want to finish off with there. So, it's amazing when we come to the father. This prodigal son, he was in a far off land, squandered his inheritance. He did, can I just ask everybody to stand? And, all their eyes to be closed. This prodigal son was in a far off land. And he realized that, in his father's house, there's provision. He realized that if he lets go of his own ambition, of his own control, of doing his own thing, then it's a place where the Father will provide for him. It's a place where he came back to the Father. He didn't know how the Father would receive him. What I want us to look at now is Luke 15, verse 19 to 21. And this speaks of the Father's response to the Son saying, I want to be a servant. I want to come and serve your purposes. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Full of love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to his servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have fattened. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he was found. And it's amazing what happens. The father doesn't just receive him. He does four important things. And this speaks of an inheritance. That speaks of something more than just being a servant. The father himself welcomed him. It speaks of his presence. The father gave him the best robe. That means the father gave him the very best. He didn't give him second best. The third thing is, the father gave him a ring of authority. So in that moment, the youngest son actually got a firstborn, right? Because he had the same authority as the firstborn, because he got the father's ring. He got given sandals, which speaks of destiny. And he was celebrated. You are my son.